They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
And welcome to the Bills Show with Randall Berger.
Oh, the Bill and Randall Show. You are free to do as we tell you.
That's
right. You are free to do as we tell you.
Certainly is.
I recognize that as Bill Hicks' voice in your little intro there.
That is. I'm a Bill Hicks fan.
I believe so.
I have always been. Hey, it's been a really active couple of weeks for Crazy.
You tell me.
Tell me a story.
Tell me this. No, here we are in the Bill's neighborhood.
Yes. What have the cattle ranchers been up to, Bill?
Oh, my goodness. Which Bundy are we going to talk about today?
Yeah. Okay. I don't. Al Bundy.
Al Bundy. What was the one from Married with Children?
That's Al Bundy. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell me, is it Cleveland or Cliven?
Cliven Bundy.
Is it Cliven? Clavin, so it's neither. It's not Cleveland or Cliven. It's Cliven.
Or Cliven.
Yeah, okay.
You say Cleveland, I say Cliven.
Cliven. Let's call the whole thing off.
You know, I'll tell you, man, it's It's very difficult for something like, you know, every now and then we kind of just want, you know, hard news to start out with, you know, things that are really kind of depressing.
We don't
usually start off with an asshat, but Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, America. You have really hung this one up to the world. Do you know what the laughing stock, you know, they used to put people in this, you know, they put your head in your hands through something.
Yeah.
And people would throw stuff at you and laugh at you. You're in the laughing stock.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. America, you've been in there for quite a while now. And Cliven Bundy really made sure that you stay there, the laughing stock of the world.
Not as funny as, I don't think America is a laughing stock. I think Cliven's a laughing stock. No, but you know what's great is the right wing craziness of like Sean Hannity and all those guys who climbed aboard the Cliven bandwagon before Clive did something really
jumped
stupid.
Off at high speed.
Yeah. So it's like he did something we never liked them to do. You know, open their mouths.
Yeah.
So,
oh my goodness.
But listen,
even
I want to start.
Even the Tea Party is jumping.
Everybody's gonna like back it away. Go, whoa, 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 whoa. Who farted?
In the elevator.
Oh. Yeah, I've seen him around sometimes. I don't really know.
Oh, my goodness. He's staying the collective shorts of the conservatives of America.
This shows you basically the true credo. I like to start off with the fantastic clip that started this whole thing.
Rats leaving the absolutely never came to the surface.
This is the
called Cliven Bundy.
This is the clip from the Daily Show of the Cliven Bundy, and then he's talking about Sean Hannity, who will latch his, because he's such a whore, Sean. He's just like a sock puppeted little whore. And he will latch on to anything that he thinks might, you know, rattle the cage of all the nutbags and listen to him. So he climbed aboard the Cliven wagon.
Whoops.
really early. And boy,
he went on a hayride.
Yeah, he's got on a hayride. So this is off the Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Last week, while we were off, we missed some high drama. Apparently a fellow named Cliven Bundy, not to be confused with his more sophisticated brother, Al. Or his more athletic brother, King Kong. Now old Cliven Bundy had been grazing his cattle illegally on federal land in Nevada for about 20 years now, accruing about $1 million in grazing fees, penalties, and fines. Unfortunately, Mr. Bundy has also repeatedly ignored court orders to cease and desist vis-a-vis said grazing. So the Federal Bureau of Land Management came to take his cattle. It is your standard boy has cow, boy breaks law for 20 years, boy loses cow story. Or so we thought.
Hundreds
Hundreds of armed militiamen rallying to support the Bundys, facing off with the feds at gunpoint.
Jim Lordy came from Montana to join the protesters. He says he and other militia members are not afraid to shoot if necessary.
We were actually strategizing to put all the women up at the front. If they're going to start shooting, it's going to be women that are going to be televised all across the world getting shot by these rogue federal officers.
Anyway, happy Valentine's Day, sweetie. He seems nice. Apparently we got ourselves a standoff at Wounded Loin. Yes, the armed standoff over this man illegally grazing his cattle is the subject of tonight's new segment. I don't get it. Brought to you by, huh? Huh? It's the sound you make when you don't get it. Now, look, I understand this is the West. Everyone wants to romanticize it. Last frontier of liberty. Riding rails on the open range. Eating a tremendous amount of beans around a campfire. Not caring about the normal social consequences of eating those beans. Because who's going to complain? The coyotes, not if they know what's good for them. Pating, 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 pating. That's the noise you'd make to scare them away. Pating, pating. How is this guy Bundy a hero? How is this guy Bundy a hero for ignoring federal law? And what is the justification?
I abide by all of Nevada state laws, but I don't recognize the United States government as even existing.
Who the hell is on this guy's side?
Have you thought about why you think your case has resonated so much with the American people?
Hannity. I still don't get it.
It's not like they want to build a school, a road, or a hospital. That land's going to stay vacant whether or not your cattle are on it or not, right? And by the way, when your cattle graze there, that keeps the price of meat down for every American consumer.
Yeah, most goods are cheaper when you steal the raw materials necessary to make them. In fact, have you seen the prices at Fell Off a Truck Mart? So apparently Sean Hannity thinks laws are served buffet style and that you can pick and choose the ones that you like best. The ones that you don't like, you don't have to abide. Well, that's not going to sit well with Fox's immigration / healthcare law expert, pundit, a Mr. Sean Hannity.
You only believe we should obey the laws that you want to obey. You don't, that's it? Obey the laws that you like.
No.
That's all? Why don't you join with me, Juan, and say everybody should obey the law. Tell me how the president can unilaterally pick and choose what parts of the law he's going to uphold at whatever time he chooses.
I mean, the guy's not even wearing a cowboy hat. The president doesn't get to choose. It apparently selects cowboy hats which laws you're going to obey, like some sort of legal sorting hat. By the way, that is the worst Harry Potter ever.
And that's
I can't believe
John
that.
Stewart. Yeah. I love the worst Harry Potter ever. Listen, the thing that is
Hang
first
on,
of all,
let me put on my cowboy hat.
Okay. You chewing something?
Yeah. No, I'm eating baked beans.
Okay. Bundy evidently doesn't think the American government. Yeah. Oh, geez, Randy. Bundy doesn't believe that the American government exists.
He's the American flag with all 50 stars.
Yeah. He's been cheating by allowing his cattle has been grazing there for the last 10 years, evidently,
and they've never
busted him, and they finally just got fed up.
I think they did bust him, but they just never served it. I mean, they never enforced it. He's accrued over $1 million worth of fines and fees.
But you know, the beauty of the fact that what Stewart is hanging on to, and this is what makes this the number one story this week for me, is that all the Republican people who cater to the nut jobs. You know, the nut jobs in the Republican Party.
Yeah. The full cluster.
The cluster nut
the
fuck.
Cluster
nut fuck of the Republican Party, including Sean Hannity and all these right-wing assholes, started to just, you know, Bundy.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, he's a rebel with a cause.
That
yeah.
boy Bundy, he's yeah. a fine example of the United States in action and a fine American. Until... Bundy said, this.
The Negro. I want to tell you one more thing I know about the Negro. When I go through Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and I would see these little government houses, and in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the older people and the kids, and there's always at least a half a dozen people sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for their young girls to do. And because they were basically on government subsidy, and so now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton, having family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy?
Can I do a face palm on radio? Oh, God. Is there a cringe button?
I cannot tell you because I was following this story. I was like, can I tell you? The absolute sitting there going, he's going to say shit. He's
going to open his mouth. He's going to come out. Man.
And these guys are jumping on board. All these Republicans. Because, of course, you know, the one thing you can't say in the Republican Party is...
slavery?
The N-word. Yeah, it's the
the party of Lincoln, the party of the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
Thinks that they are
But no, I'm not talking about every Republican. No, not every Republican thinks it, but those Republicans think it. I think they can best illustrate it in this quote here.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know. Morons.
And that is the quote that I thought of.
Thank you, Mel Brooks. Yes, from Blazing
Saddles.
That's
the quote I thought of. I thought to myself, this is going to be the Gene Wilder moment. And you know something, Randall?
Yeah.
I thought it just as I was watching the story on Friday. It was before he said it.
Yeah.
Before he said it, I said... he's going to say some shit. He's going to say some shit.
Why do they always do exactly what you expect them to do?
Well, they don't. Usually the Republican Party's become very good at, you know, kind of like never saying the N-word out loud.
But thinking it.
But thinking it totally. I mean, but listen, I compiled just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Is I compiled a list of some of the people that climbed on board with the old Clive Express. Yeah. And how they kind of like went, oh, my God, someone farted.
Yeah, this is the sound of backpedaling, ladies and gentlemen.
So as we said, you know, Clive-O said, I've often wondered that they were better off slaves.
It's, you know why they're sitting there on the porch, Willie? It's because I never learned to pick cotton. Really, they never learned to pick cotton.
Genocidal slavery is better for these people. Now, so Senator Dean Helter, okay? This is a U.S. Senator, okay? Dean Helter, last week during a debate with Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid, Heller said that he thought the Bundy ranchers weren't slavery in favor racist assholes. They were! Patriots.
Patriots?
Yes. What Senator Reid may call domestic terrorists, I call patriots, Heller said. He added that he wanted his hearings to figure out who's accountable for this.
Yeah, and what's he saying now?
Yeah. Chandler Smith, a spokesman for Mr. Heller, who probably got the short straw in the meeting.
Sharp
Chandler,
stick up the ass.
You hand it, Chandler. I want you out there in a minute. Oh, what? I'm really kind of new.
I didn't mean to say that.
Chandler Smith for the Heller campaign said the congressman went, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. Geez, you want me to? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
The senator completely disagrees with Mr. Bundy's appalling racist statements and only agrees with Mr. Bundy when he does electoral good for the senator's campaign.
And when he sits on the borrowed horse holding the American flag.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And condemns them in the most strenuous way. Now, Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott...
who's invited Bundy to migrate to the big red state. Yeah,
yeah, was defending Bundy's... issues against the BLM, which was the federal agency that came into his ranch. And now Laura Bean, the Abbott spokesman, said, hey, listen, this was regarding the entire dispute in Texas and is in no way related to the dispute in Nevada racist who we suddenly don't know.
Oh, gosh.
And Assemblywoman Michelle Fiore in Nevada, she spoke with Sean Hannity on Fox News and Chris Hayes about the Bundy case. I mean, she was like on national television.
My goodness.
Has come back and evidently... she was photographed trying to save a little calf retrieved from the federal agency who took it. So she's gone dark. Fiore hasn't commented publicly on the U.S. on Bundy's statements. Yes, the Wire reached out to her for her comment, and we'll update you if she responds.
Yeah. Yeah, but she has a do not resuscitate label on her phone.
It's been a very good week for that.
Let's play a little musical interlude right now, don't you think?
I think so. Okay. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
Folks are dumb where I come from. They ain't had any learning.
Hello there, I'm Bonnie, former President George W. Bush's art teacher. And today, I'm going to teach you the same techniques he used to create his WMDs, Watercolors of Mass Delight. Today, we'll be creating a beautiful painting of a cat looking at a dog. I already Google image searched this. This is the first thing that came up, so we're ready to go. Let's get your canvas ready, or as President Bush calls it, his waterboard. First, we're gonna blend yellow with brown to create a beautiful amber color. Then, spend exactly 0 seconds thinking about the consequences of your past actions. Great! Let's add the whiskers. Now remember, when you're painting your kitty cat, you're going for a two-dimensional look, so don't use any perspective. Not now, not 20 years from now. Now just a few little dabs and you got 4 cute paws. You can use black or white to create the spots, but not gray. Gray doesn't exist. And did you know if you paint, you're automatically considered a good person? I once ran over an immigrant family with my Hummer. But it's okay, because I paint. I'm forgiven. Sometimes President Bush would spend hours just staring at his canvas or a wall, muttering to himself incomprehensibly, or obsessing over the tiniest detail for days. And then I'd walk in and I'd say, "President Bush, stop torturing that detail." And then we would laugh and laugh and sob and laugh. Now if you get stuck, you can do what President Bush did. Call a friend for inspiration. Dick Cheney? I got to the dog's tail and now I'm stuck. What should I do? Strangle the dog while laughing. Dick, the dog's not real. Mission accomplished. Congratulations. We've just painted a watercolor that truly evokes the spirit of George W. Bush. Great work today. You're truly on your way to the axis of easels. Next week, we'll be working on a self-portrait the way that George W. Bush does it, with no mirrors and no self-reflection.
Back and want to thank SCTV for that on YouTube. That was a very funny short. Thank you so much.
Yes, that was funny.
I enjoyed it. I think
I could tell. I think George Bush and his little sort of paint by numbers retirement is really stupid.
I think Georgie.
What does he say? What do you do? Oh, I go to the hardware store.
Yeah, that's right.
He used to go to the hardware store. Now he paints.
Georgie is the Forrest Gump of, you know.
Oh, he is.
He's the Forrest Gump of.
I mean, you just did. Stupid is as stupid does.
They let me steal. They let me steal. Kind of mow the lawn. Oh, I like that. You know, it's like, you know,
my goodness.
Give him some paints and putting them in a room. You know.
And what about him saying the thing about you know the George W. Bush library?
Yeah,
you know, like, you know, all us presidents just want to compare to see whose is bigger than the other one.
But, yes.
Mine's the biggest.
Yeah. He makes a penis joke.
I paint my murals.
Yeah, he makes a penis joke about my penis is bigger than the other president's. And he thought that was funny.
That's right. He actually dropped a penis joke in the last 3 weeks at a public thing. You know,
my library is bigger than all the other libraries put together. Yeah. That's kind of a dick joke.
Yeah. No, it's like, you're like, fuckhead.
Oh, it's dear.
Like a roving embarrassment. Yeah,
he's going to put his father in an early grave.
His father, really, seriously. Like, if I had George W., I would have put him. I would have put him in the attic and slid his meals under the door. Yeah. Like the idiot's son.
You're gonna whoop him outside the head with a frying pan. Yeah, Barbara Bush.
Anyway, listen. You know what was really disappointed this week, Randall? I was really disappointed by something.
Oh yes, I am too. And I felt it was
because know what we're talking about.
Yes,
they don't.
I know. Well, let's tell them what we're talking about.
No, let's have a podcast where we don't tell them what we're talking about.
Yeah, we'll just we'll beat around the bush. We were just beating up the bush. Now we're going to beat around the bush.
Okay. No, Aaron Sorkin.
Our friend Aaron Sorkin.
Well,
I mean,
he's not.
Not personally, but I think Aaron Sorkin, because I'm a screenwriter.
Yeah,
I got one foot.
And a real
screenwriter,
pal.
Yeah, one foot out of the closet, but I'm a screenwriter, and I have believed since, well before even West Wing. Few Good Men, which was a play before it was a movie, that Aaron Sorkin has such a gift for not only dialogue that you really believe is coming out of somebody's mouth, but dialogue that speaks the truth.
Well, I think he's a very articulate man.
And astute and aware.
Who has used his writing to articulate a progressive side to politics that doesn't get much of an airing.
How many people want to
matter how many people start talking about the liberal media, which is horse shit.
Yeah, how many people wanted Jeb Bartlett to be the real president for 9 years?
Absolutely.
You know, and that when, you know, they had the Latino candidate, how much that was a precursor to the
Obama election. It was completely. And it was also us lefties. We loved our Aaron Sorkin. But you know something? Aaron Sorkin did something that you can never do in America. And when
that's
he
tell
did,
the truth.
That's right. And he started off the first season of a series called The Newsroom. Like... And
This is before the credits. Yeah,
walk down memory lane. This is how his character, main character, said the first thing he said in the newsroom.
Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst generation ever. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people.
We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Enough?
So that's why Aaron Sorkin, I think that's an amazing speech.
Sends chills up my spine.
And you know what? It articulates so well in such an incredible way. And he did this consistently through that first season as he used the show, which dramatically was still better than 9/10 of the other shows on television.
Oh,
come
and
on.
You know what?
Have you seen NCIS? Jesus Christ, I'll put a nail through my brain.
Will McAvoy, the character he plays, the Anchorman. He is a declared registered Republican. He is a conservative.
Yeah.
Yet he was so damned honest.
Yeah, well, that's the honesty a part of it.
And that was the hard
thing.
There's
one thing that you can't do, though, and that is tell the truth in America. Mm. And why do I say that? Because Sorkin was at the Tribeca Film Festival the other day, and this is what he said about the newsroom.
Well, I'm going to let you all stand in for everyone in the world. I think you and I got off on the wrong foot with the newsroom, and I apologize, and I'd like to start over, okay? Because I think that there's been a terrible misunderstanding. I did not set the show in the recent past in order to show the pros how it should have been done. That was and remains the furthest thing from my mind. I set the show in the recent past because I didn't want to make up fake news. It was going to be weird if the world that these people were living in did not in any way resemble the world that you were living in. And so I didn't want to make up fake news. And also, I wanted the option of having a terrific dynamic that you can get when the audience knows more than the characters do. I wasn't trying to, I'm not capable of, teaching a professional journalist a lesson. That wasn't my intent. And it's never my intent to teach you a lesson or to try to persuade you of anything.
Why are you backpedaling, Aaron?
I think somebody bent him over the table.
No, I really do.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do. I think somebody over in Comcast, I think somebody at HBO went, Aaron, we love your work, but it's getting a bit too political. And you notice they never say that to the conservative douchebags in the media?
Yes, but I mean, look at even the wonderful... Now, this is what I think is one of the great ironies of that series, is the fact that they had Jane Fonda playing Ted Turner, ex-husband.
Yeah, I know. That was outstanding, wasn't it?
I just thought that was the best part of the satire. But she was a conservative person who said, I don't care. I want you to go out and tell it like it is.
I know, yes. He actually made the conservatives, both in the West Wing and the newsroom, Sorkin made the conservatives much better than they are. I mean, he painted them quite, because you know Alan Alda in the West Wing, who was like, you know, he was like McCain if he wasn't a dick.
Yeah,
you know, if he wasn't a lying, shifty,
Or the very first episode, which goes back to
power-hungry old...
What was the first episode of West Wing? Would have been 2001, 2002?
Yeah.
No, earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they had a 9/11
episode. You got to consider now...
In 2000 or earlier, they had that pilot episode where those religious people were in the White House.
Yes, I know. And Sorkin comes out very strongly. But you know something he never did? He never did, Randall, he never apologized for the West Wing. He's going out apologizing for the first season of The Newsroom. To me, the first season of The Newsroom is the best one because at least it has some fucking balls.
Yeah. The second one had that weird sort of like... Afghanistan conspiracy.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but I mean, it didn't have...
It distracted from the real balls of that.
But the thing is, you cannot... Listen, sooner or later, if you tell the truth to the American people, people come up to you and go, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down. You can even see the West Wing got more right after a while. Yeah. There's another guy that they got rid of.
Who?
Well, see if you recognize this voice from the past.
We are at a turning point in our history. There are two paths to choose. One is a path I've warned about tonight. The path that leads to fragmentation and self-interest. Down that road lies a mistaken idea of freedom. The right to grasp for ourselves some advantage over others. That path would be one of constant conflict between narrow interest, ending in chaos and immobility. It is a certain route to failure.
Well, that would be James Earl Carter.
James Earl Carter, yes, Jimmy Carter, actually, in the Crisis of Confidence speech, where he went to the American people and he said, guys, I know you guys trust me, and I'm going to tell you the truth about yourself and why America's falling on its pants. We're too self-interested, and the problem is with us. Yeah. And you know what they did to him?
They voted him out.
No kidding.
Yeah, and they blamed him for things that
you
were really...
You cannot tell the truth to the American people.
They blamed him for things that were beyond his control.
Absolutely.
And they manipulated. I mean, the conservatives even dealt with Iran, saying, don't let the people out, the hostages out, until...
Yeah,
Reagan is inaugurated.
Oh, Reagan completely screwed Carter to the post. You know, I mean, basically, he arranged secretly. There's a case to be made, and Tom Hartman makes it that the last legitimately elected president of the United States was Eisenhower. But besides that, I know I'm making a long bow between Sorkin's coming, you know, saying a mea culpa because he dared to be liberal, and Jimmy Carter, who basically made the mistake of actually turning to the American people and saying, you know what? This is a problem with us.
Yeah.
And no one wanted to hear him. Hey, because no. Happy-go-lucky Ronnie.
can I draw an even longer bow?
What?
I think that when they elected Bill Clinton, they were re-electing Jimmy Carter.
No, because they didn't get Jimmy Carter.
No, I know they
Slick
didn't.
Slick Willie deregulated banks, baby.
Yes, I know they didn't. And they didn't get the Christian values that the man actually practiced. But he was a Southern governor.
That's true.
He did have that down-home feeling, and I do think that people had it in their mind.
Carter wanted us to actually save energy. Carter got on the train.
Down to 55.
Absolutely. Carter got on the Crisis of Confidence speech. He actually goes to the American people and says, hey, you know what? We're all going to have to sacrifice something.
Yeah.
And not just me, everybody. We got to do this together. And you know what the deafening answer was? Let's vote for Ronnie.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. And you know his predictions about the American culture becoming more selfish that he just made, that you just heard?
It all came true.
Where did the American people put him?
He's never stopped. He's never been bitter. He's never stopped practicing his Christian values.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, he said, I don't know why people insist on America being a Christian society when nobody will actually practice their Christian values.
Yeah, yeah. And he has. I mean...
He has.
Well, look what Reagan did after he got... Reagan did speeches for money. Nixon...
Well, Reagan didn't do speeches for money. He just drooled and Nancy wiped his chin.
And of course, George, I made a picture of my dog.
I went to the hardware store today. I bought a nail.
My library is almost as big as my dick.
Yeah, I've got a dick that's as big as everybody else's library.
Thank you, Mr. Bush. So nice of you to address the children today. Thank you very much. Did I tell you? I have a big dick.
Yeah. You know when you said about
what?
Eisenhower, Dwight David Eisenhower being the last real leader.
Real leader.
Elected in America.
Yeah.
I just have a quote that I really think is a valid one. I will throw it out there. Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. This world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, and the hopes of its children. Now, if that's not a condemnation
Of everything he did when he was in office.
Yeah. He did warn us about the...
Yeah, but that was after he built up the military-industrial complex.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm leaving now. I've built this shit all, but, you know...
He wasn't a fool.
Be careful.
He wasn't a fool in that respect.
No, we could see what was happening.
Yeah.
Now, you actually wanted to bring up something that I thought was very fascinating. Mm. We touched on it in the last show.
Well.
And you were sitting there talking about what's wrong with socialism anyway?
Oh, yes. When did socialism become a bad word? A nasty word?
I don't know. A rude word.
It's an accusation now in America. And I get it all the time from my father. I mean, they say Australia is a socialist country.
Well, it's like it's a communist country.
Well, everything...
It's not.
Right, everything that lately that causes individual Americans to do anything for the common good is referred to as socialism. Okay?
And why is socialism bad? I'm sorry, I'm having a refreshment.
Yeah, it's not about me. It's all about me. It's no longer about we, the people. They say we, the people, but it's not we, it's me.
But when they keep
But taxes and regulations on alcohol and tobacco in most countries of the world have lowered the rates of alcoholism and lung cancer.
Yeah.
But America is my goddamn constitutional right to smoke if I want to smoke, you know, and they're calling that socialism. Taxing tobacco is socialism.
It's logical.
They trumpet Christian ideals, but they don't practice them. They wrap themselves in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They've never read them. Mm. We talked about that last time. We in Australia tend to practice, and in many countries of the world, including Scandinavia, they practice equality and egalitarianism.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas America practices rampant individualism.
Mm. Okay? And I don't want you to think, like, for example, like I know that you're probably listening to this.
We're trying to be constructive. We're trying to say, look, America, look at yourselves.
Look at America. This is an intervention.
Here we are in Mr. Bill's neighborhood. God help America, because
you know, the unfortunate thing is that to a certain extent, people listening to this broadcast, they're the choir.
They're throwing their slippers at their iPods.
Yeah. Most of the people, I guarantee, that are listening to this thing
are going hallelujah.
But it's like if you try to the thing is though is that we live in a quasi socialist state and it's not Chairman Mao at all. And of course any of you who have traveled, and of course you know that Bush never traveled outside the United States before he was president of the United States.
Never.
You know, and it just shows
anyone who thinks
socialism is the same as communism does not know what socialism is and does not understand
FDR or HST because they were in a lot of their measure and a lot of the things they did were socialist.
And to a certain extent, you guys live in a socialist state now.
Mm.
I mean, for example, the health program for your congressmen and senators is a socialist single payer health care program. They already have one.
Yeah.
They don't want you to have it. all these people who are shitting on Obamacare, they have single payer health.
I drew this comparison for my father. He did not like this. I said this to my father. I said he's always ending his letters with God bless America, and I wrote back God help America, because I think right now you're in the Nero Caligula phase of the fall of the American Empire.
He did not like that.
Well, I'm sorry. All of the things that happened, history tends to repeat itself. You know, the Julius Caesar days at the end of World War II and 10 or 20 years after that. And now they've just got these, they're swinging back and forth between their Caligulas and their Neros and their Claudiuses and people that speak reason and people that just are nut jobs.
Mm. I think that...
And the place is falling apart.
There is going to be a point in which the people who have actually become so we're not talking about liberal or conservative anymore. We're talking about competent
to run.
And the fact that a lot of the things that if you look at the parallels between Rome and you look at the United States and what's happening. There's a lot to be said for that. I don't think the United States is going to... Seriously, I've been to the United States. It's not going to fall.
Of course, the United States is not going to fall.
But what is going to change is about the United States. What is going to change in the United States is the welfare of the people that live there. And the United States, as you know, when we talk about Sorkin and stuff like that, he said valuable things there. He said things that actually mattered. He said people have to know that there's a problem before they can solve it. This and now he's apologizing for saying that.
Well, somebody's making him apologize. Yeah. Somebody's making him apologize. You know, feeling sorry about the people of America. You know, the reason I'm in Australia.
Why?
It's because
why are you here?
Because an American family left. Because they were fed up. That was in the early 70s.
Oh, really?
Late 60s.
But they were fed up with Australia.
Oh, no. They were fed up with America. Mel Gibson's family, the father and mother and the 12 children, migrated to Australia. They've since, a lot of them have gone back, migrated to Australia in the late 60s because they didn't want their sons to go to Vietnam. They were fed up with
Imagine wanting some sons to get to Vietnam.
And so they came here. And Gibbo didn't move, but I mean, he still has a farm here, I think. But he lives in L.A. and does strange things. But the family I came out here with, they migrated because they wanted a better life and they wanted to get away from the arch conservative politics of the Nixon administration.
Nixon is a communist now.
Yeah,
you know, seriously, I mean, God, this guy opened China. He's not going anywhere near the Republican Party now because the Republican Party is literally insane. Yeah. Hey, listen, you know who also maybe want to leave America, the United States, Wisconsin.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding you. This came out
the dairy state. Yeah.
This came out this week. This came out of the press, and evidently the Republicans in Wisconsin have passed a bill that I thought was quite interesting.
Passed a stone.
They passed a stone. Earlier this month, the party's resolutions committee voted in favor of a proposal that says the state party supports legislation, get this, that upholds Wisconsin's right under extreme circumstances to secede from the union. That's right.
They reserved the right. I didn't think anybody had the right.
Cheesemakers are pissed off and they're wondering.
Yeah, blessed are the cheesemakers. Yeah, because they want to secede from America.
A version of the so-called state sovereignty resolution was first okayed last month by one of the state's GOP 8 regional caucuses as an assertion of the state's 10th Amendment rights. The measure also calls for an ending of all mandates that go beyond the scope of constitutionally delegated powers of the federal government. I guess they get to choose which laws they want to, you know, obey. Top Republican officials hope to kill the fringe proposal during a meeting of resolutions committee at the Hyatt Hotel in Milwaukee. Instead, the committee made a few edits to the resolution and adopted it.
And then they broke for cheesesteaks.
So it goes to the delegates who will get to vote on whether or not the party wants to reopen the question that the Civil War settled. Oh, 100 years, all because of Obamacare, really. Seriously.
I don't understand that. Texas wants to secede. And probably,
fuck off then.
Yeah.
Really, seriously. Don't stop us.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Wisconsin can become part of Canada. They're close enough. Texas can become part of Mexico again. It always was. And good riddance.
Good riddance. I like to do my best impression of Willy Wonka and go, no, wait, stop.
Yeah. No, don't. Oh, please. You'll fall in the chocolate. No.
Really, seriously.
Don't stop.
But the thing is
Gene Wilder again. I love it.
I love my Gene Wilder.
Stop, please, yeah.
I don't stop. Oh, listen, man. I just really seriously, man. I get a giggle. Listen, we're going to be back with some tinfoil hats to end up our show.
We used up a whole roll of aluminum. See, I said aluminum because we have a mainly American.
We still have two more. We still have two more tinfoil hats that I have been saving.
Oh, yes, I know.
And
that's
you
right.
Brought one as well. So, yeah. I mean, I can't wait. This is going to be fun.
Well, yeah, they're total. We've used up a whole roll of
tinfoil.
Aluminum, aluminium.
We have on our heads. Okay. We'll be back in just a minute, right here on The Bill Show with Randall Berger.
Bye.
Okay, new rule. George W. Bush must admit that the only reason his paintings are getting a show at the George W. Bush Library is because he's George W. Bush. I'm not saying his art is bad. I just doubt that the curator said, "Why, sir, your paintings are magnificent. What did you say your name was?"
New Rule, the producers of the new Michael Jackson album, Escape, must tell us if this outfit was Michael's idea of a spacesuit or something his doctor put on so he wouldn't lick himself. New Rule, Special K has to get over itself. Or at least explain what makes it so special. It's flakes, and they taste like they were shaken out of a three-hole puncher. If that's special, what's regular K? And same goes for you, Kashi Goleen, always bragging about having as much protein as an egg. Don't get so high and mighty. I remember when you used to call yourself Sugar Smacks. New Rule, if reading the newly declassified Senate report on Bush-era torture programs makes you disgusted, you're a liberal. And if it makes you shrug, you're a conservative. And if it makes you hard, you're Dick Cheney. New Rule, someone has to explain to DEA head Michelle Leonhardt, who testified this week that marijuana should be kept illegal because your pets might get into it and get sick. That when you're down to what if the dog eats it, you pretty much got nothing. And also, that it's not exactly breaking news that dogs throw up after eating grass. And finally, New Rule, now that the media is done freaking out about the missing jetliner, how about going on a search for America's vanishing middle class? Now, I say this because the number of Americans who identify as middle class has never been lower. And if you don't believe me, just go shopping. The stores like Sears and Penny's that always catered to the middle market are dying. But you know who's doing great? Tiffany's and Gucci and Cartier for the Marie Antoinette crowd. And the dollar store for people who don't see a problem with Halloween candy in June. I mean, just think of how many dollar places there are now. The dollar store, Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Dollar Giant, Family Dollar, the 99-cent store, the 98-cent store. Where does it end? Just a homeless guy handing out expired toothpaste for free? But that's our economy now. You're either buying Rembrandts or Chinese cosmetics made from dirt. But in the middle, tough times. True of restaurants as well. The moderately priced ones, like Applebee's, Red Lobster, and Olive Garden, are all in trouble because they've lost their best customers, people with a little money who fill up on bread. They're the restaurants that say, "I still love you, baby, but just barely." 50 years ago, America's biggest employer was General Motors, where workers made the modern equivalent of $50 an hour. Today, America's biggest employer is Walmart, where the average wage is $8 an hour, which means you can share a room in a transient hotel with a drifter who cuts his toenails with a machete. And Walmart released their annual report this month, and in it was the fact that most of what Walmart sells is food, and most of their customers need food stamps to pay for it. Meanwhile, Walmart's owners are so absurdly rich that one of them, Alice Walton, spent over $1 billion building an art museum in Bentonville, Arkansas, 500 miles away from the nearest person who ever would want to look at art. And she said about it, "For years I've been thinking about what we could do as a family that could really make a difference. How about giving your employees a raise, you deluded nitwit?" And what we are seeing now as the income inequality increases is a lot of Americans who work hard and play by the rules starting to not play by the rules. At a McDonald's in Pittsburgh, an employee was arrested for selling heroin packed right in with the Happy Meals. And she didn't do it because she likes heroin, although it's probably no worse for you than the Filet-O-Fish. She did it because you can't raise two kids on $7.72 an hour. And for those who say she shouldn't have had two kids then, well, maybe, but she did. So what's she supposed to do now? Give them away in front of the Petco on Saturday? Or take the case of Belle Knox. She's the Duke University freshman who was recently outed as a porn star. But she doesn't have the typical porn star biography. Abused by an uncle, addicted to coke, locked in a closet by Charlie Sheen. No, she's a level-headed, articulate 18-year-old majoring in women's studies, just like I did. So people are saying, why the porn? Because Duke costs $61,000 a year. Since 1980, college tuition has increased 600% above the inflation rate. I'm surprised they're not all doing porn. And even if Ms. Knox wanted to pay her way through school serving hot dogs at Wiener Schnitzel, there are no jobs at Wiener Schnitzel. So instead, she occasionally takes a wiener in the schnitzel. And this is what the Paul Ryans of the world don't understand, that this is not a country of lazy people and good people, so much as it is a country of rich people and desperate people. Do you know how much Americans owe in student loans? $1.3 trillion. We're going to have to sell a lot of ass to pay that debt. Yeah, I'm afraid we're treading water and losing ground. And if you just said, hey, that's a mixed metaphor, congratulations, that's your English degree in action. Now lube up, it's time to do some porn. All right, that's our show. I'll be here in L.A. at the Nokia Theater, April 8th.
Yes, it's that song again, ladies and gentlemen. It's the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment. And yeah. By the way, Bill Maher.
Bill Maher and Will McAvoy, these two guys.
Tell the truth.
And there was a quote I repeated on my FB page.
Yes.
I don't want to give them any mileage. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it.
I think that's more or less true.
George Orwell?
Unfortunately, I think that's any society. I don't think that's just
but I mean, our society. I think that's any Orwell, society. Orwell, who held up a big mirror to the future called 1984 in 1948.
Yes, he did.
I think so much of that stuff is still coming true.
Oh, I reread 1984 recently, and it was just really depressing.
Well, the 1984...
You know, it was really fucking depressing.
I've got to say, the movie 1984, made in 1984...
Yeah.
With Richard Burton and John Hurt.
Oh, how fucking great is that?
Oh, but the point is...
I mean,
is,
not
is,
for thank, chuckle. It's not a date film, right?
No, it isn't.
But it's really...
The point is it was so true to the text and all of that stuff. And the fact that it was Burton's last film, much as I hate to say it...
Mm.
That we lost that man. Yeah. At least we didn't lose him after some of the shit that he
Elizabeth
the shit that he made in the 70s. My God,
I am your king. I am Equus.
Yeah. Oh, God. Thank God for anyway.
I love that voice.
So
though.
Yes, the further society drifts from the truth, the more they will hate those.
The more
who speak.
Hate the. I'm going to do my Richard Burton.
No, you should do your George Orwell.
But I don't.
Anyway,
know
Alive and Dead in Paris.
Yes,
but the point is that. You and I speak the truth, and people probably hate us.
Nobody hates us.
Okay. Let's do some tinfoil hats.
I don't know. We speak the truth as we see
okay,
it.
Okay, I want to do a tinfoil hat.
Do a tinfoil hat. Evidently, there is a tinfoil hat that you have brought with you to our humble abode up here in the mountains. And could you tell me a little bit about that tinfoil hat,
Randall?
Okay,
the tinfoil hat is, William, the war on Easter.
What?
The war on Easter. Now, Easter...
You're kidding me,
Easter,
really?
As you know, and people always say, how come it's not on the same day every year? Well, because it's actually a lunar festival. It's the third full moon of the Northern Hemisphere spring.
You know a lot of stuff, Randy.
Well, sorry, just me. But the point is it's also Passover, because as Christians would know,
yes,
the Palestinian Jew radical named Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem in order to celebrate Passover on Palm Sunday, the week before Easter Sunday, because that's when Passover starts.
Yeah.
You have your Seder, you do. So, not rather than being a celebration of crucifixion, it was originally Passover, which, for a couple of thousand years, was a Jewish festival.
But you're saying that now there's a war on Easter?
Yeah, but before that, it was actually a pagan fertility festival.
My favorite kind.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it was spring, and they worshiped the goddess. And every society, even the Mayans, had a goddess
of
fertility.
Got crazy.
Yeah, those spring. Crazy Mayans with their calendar that...
The birds and the bees.
Their calendar, which had ran out in 2012 and nothing happened.
By the way, what a disappointment when nothing happened after that.
Remember that one?
It was like the world's going to end, and it was like the next day everybody's looking
December 21st, 2012. I don't remember that.
That's why I tell you something.
12-12-12.
As negative as this show gets sometimes, I never think that the world's actually going to buy it because, you know, they've been prophesizing
Y2K.
The world's buying.
Anyway,
come on.
So pagan
Tell me about the war on Christmas.
War on Easter. Esther, the goddess of fertility, as in estrogen,
was
the original goddess. They borrowed that name. We still give eggs and bunnies, which are fertility symbols,
because they fuck like rabbits.
Because they fuck like rabbits, and the eggs hatch into chicks.
Okay.
Yet, people believe that this is somehow because they, like most of the other Christian festivals, they borrowed them from other religions.
Other religions. That's true.
It's ended up being this thing that's all about chocolate.
What's the clip that you have for me today? I understand it's the wonderful people at Fox.
Oh yes, Faux News has decided to jump on the fertility bandwagon, the gift that just keeps giving Fox News, and they've declared that there is a war on Easter. A celebration of murder. The celebration of murder of a man by nailing him to a piece of timber.
Yeah, but there's no war on Easter.
There's no war on Easter. It's
but
the chocolate company.
Let's have a look
at
what Fox News has to say about the war now on...
The war on Esther.
War on Easter, finding a new battleground in the Windy City. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, an atheist group that already posted an anti-Easter sign in the Wisconsin State Capitol, is now erecting a massive display in Chicago's Daily Plaza. 2 8-foot banners featuring Thomas Jefferson and President John Adams, promoting the secular views of our founding fathers. The exhibit, aimed at countering the Jesus in Daily Plaza, it'll feature a 19-foot tall cross and a 10-foot tall image of the resurrected Jesus. Has Easter evolved into an occasion to demean religious beliefs and Christianity?
You know, I wonder sometimes when Good Friday and Easter roll around, I think I'd really rather celebrate fertility than somebody suffering, being tortured, being murdered, and then personally feeling guilty about it. You know,
I don't personally feel guilty about that at all.
Well,
but I think that the point is basically, look, what they put up, the atheists put up in Chicago, was a reminder that all these slobs that sit around talking about us being a Christian nation, Randall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are talking
out of their ass.
And how wise the founding fathers were.
It's amazing.
Who actually said there should be a separation between church and state.
Yeah, that's that. These people wrap themselves in the flag and they love the founding fathers.
And they pick the eyes out of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Until, of course, they are quoted. You know something? It's not a Christian country. It's a secular country. It's not a war on Easter. It's not.
But and I reckon half the people aren't even Christian.
Oh, for God's sake. But, I mean, the roles have gone down in churches in America, but I think that's indicative of, I mean, it's like, if I look at the Catholic Church, I'm not really going to sign up.
No.
You know, I mean, seriously,
and I'm not going to let any, here's another good one. Another good quote that I think really applies here. Homosexuals do not have an agenda. that involves brainwashing or converting children to their ways.
No.
That's religion.
Actually, you know, strictly speaking, that's true.
Yeah, well, strictly speaking, that's why I said it. Ellen, Bill, they're going to crucify me.
Yeah, they are, man.
I'll get down off the cross. It's the Christ on a stick.
Well, you know, hey, listen, John Lennon said it. You know, they're going to crucify me. But the truth is that religion, you know, religious school is brainwashing. Mm. Whether it's a madrasa, whether it's a Catholic school, or whether it's a, you know, whatever it is brainwashing. You are brainwashing people to believe one thing.
Yeah, it's with no tangible proof of it. Jesuit principle: give me the child, and I'll give you back the man.
Give me
the child, and I'll give you back
the child
Catholic. Yeah. No, don't go there.
No, that. By the way, why not go there?
Yeah, let's go there. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, this is a podcast. I'm going to go there. Listen, man, I wouldn't be signing up for the Catholic Church these days. No. I got a big problem with the friggin' Catholic Church. Believe me.
And I think they
do a lot of good. I think there are a lot of good Catholics in the world. But I think
Pope Frank, people are really pissed off at him because he's making so much goddamn sense.
Yeah, I know he is. He is.
Americans hate him, and the politicians hate him.
Well, I think that certain politicians hate him, but I'm interested in see how things go. Now, I'm not just the Catholic Church. I mean, evangelical Christians. I think religion, if you look at the amount of destruction that religion causes, I'm not talking about spirituality. I'm talking about religion.
Yeah, organized religion.
Organized religion. Because I am spiritual and I do believe in God, but organized religion, I got a problem with some of them, you know? And I know some people who go to church every Sunday who live very, very good lives and they call themselves Christians and I love them and they're dear to me.
And they practice what they preach.
And they do. Mm. Those are the ones that you don't sit there and, you know, feel uncomfortable at dinner because they're just friggin' barking mad. It's just like, you know. They're conspiring against me for Easter.
Religion?
You know, it's like, you know, they hate me because I love Christ. Yeah.
What was it Dame Maggie Smith said? Religion is like a penis.
Why do you go under the belt?
I love that. Religion is like a penis, said Dame Maggie. Hmm. It's great to have one.
Yes.
And to use it wisely. But when you wiggle it in somebody's face or shove it down their throat, it's now something I don't
you
like.
You are such a, like, for example, you're, you know, I've known you for a very long time, and the reason that we met, because we used to audition for the same roles.
Yeah.
Because we were both actors.
And we're both.
Yeah, and I tell you.
Chunky boys.
Okay, this guy over to me, next to me, has the mind of an actor, which is the mind of a 13-year-old.
And it's
so
still
if there's any sexual context, he's matron.
I've got young timer's disease. Yeah,
he's not a sick puppy. He's just, you know, he's got that problem. Listen, I got one. I got a problem.
Oh, I want to.
You want to hear my problem, Randy?
Yeah, what's your problem?
My problem is
it's
great.
It's not incontinence. You're not open.
It's not incontinence, but it could be later on in life. Listen, my problem is the Fox's Greg Gutfeld.
Oh!
Was caught in the fox.
Ooh, yeah, caught in the headlights like a fox. Yeah. We run over them here in Australia.
That's right. Gutfeld is a. Let me just go off on him for a minute because it's a podcast. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's what you
Gutfeld
can do. It's your show. It's got your name on
total
it.
Total fucking turd, this kid. The more I listen to him, the more I realize that he's the guy. You know, it's like when you noticed that as a fat kid, when I was in school, I was tortured. I was absolutely tortured.
So was I.
Right. So basically, one of the reasons that I hate the Republican Party and the people at Fox is because I see in them exactly
the same look in the eye.
Same assholes. You know,
yeah,
they're the same dicks.
Absolutely.
You look at Dick Cheney, you know, and by the way, Mitt Romney, it wasn't very unusual for me when I found out that Mitt Romney actually did beat the crap out of a kid in school.
And cut his hair.
Cut his hair off, you know. So this is Greg Gutfeld, who is absolutely a douchebag. You know, he's such a fucking tool. And Greg Gutfeld was evidently, he's confronted with tax season now that he's a big he's a big millionaire because he works for Fox and sells his soul to the devil. And he was griping about the fact that the poor aren't paying enough taxes. Greg Gutfeld from the Fox.
Yay, it's tax day, or for 70 million households, Tuesday. Because for them, they pay no federal income tax, so they're left wondering why everyone's at the post office sweating through their shirts. I don't blame them. I envy them. A tax form to them is like a coupon for Head and Shoulders if you're bald. This is how dependence works. Big government is grand if you don't feel its hand. Not that I don't love taxes. Without them, how would people like Harry Reid thrive? Useless in productive society, hucksters rely on us as their welfare. Reid and his ilk look at America and see millions of wallets and purses ready to be picked to perpetuate their power. See, my theory of government is really simple. It's all about the street. Government should keep things off the street, thugs, the insane, invading armies, and keep things on the street, like cement and lampposts. Everything else, we can handle. Which is why I'm bummed that 110 days of my salary goes directly into the mouth of a blob that turns my efforts into useless poop.
Yeah, Greg, all those other things that taxes pay for, you know, like schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't want fucking schools, Greg. No, no. What about health care? No, we don't want fucking health care.
No.
Just on the roads and you're not annoyed on the way home, you douchebag. Seriously, man. And by the way, you know what I love? I absolutely love Randall. Let me tell you what I love.
Tell me what you love, Bill.
I love the sun in the morning and the moon at night.
Yeah, that's taxes, another. That's another song. What's with songs for
I don't know.
To get your gun today?
Listen, it is taxes as a share of gross domestic product. These are from the OECD and percentage of GDP. America pays 27.3%. The average American pays 20. The American government pays 23%. 27.3% of its GDP in taxes. Do you know that that is below the OEC total? That is below most. We are third. We are behind Korea, Australia, Japan, Ireland, Switzerland, Slovak Republic, Canada, Greece, Spain, New Zealand, Ireland, Israel, Poland, Portugal, Luxembourg, United Kingdom, Czech Republic, Iceland, Germany, Slovenia, Netherlands, wait a minute, I'm not done yet, Hungary, Norway, Austria, Finland, France, Italy, Belgium, Sweden, and Denmark. I'm telling you, Greg, you're not getting slayed with tax, you douchebag. You're getting a real fucking sweet deal. And the reason that people can't pay tax is because they're poor, you asshole.
Or they're unemployed, you dick.
And what I love about these guys over at Fox is they're the first one to embrace principles, Christian principles like Easter. But when it comes to the Christian principles of, like, looking after your fellow man.
Yeah, if you can't look after your poor, then you're not a Christian.
Fuck them, they're poor. Yeah. Let them pay taxes.
Yeah, but you know what? People that don't pay taxes still pay tax.
State, local, sales tax.
Property tax if they happen to own their home.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. And you know what? I often have this argument with my father, who lives in America, who says, you know, we are living beyond our means. We have this huge debt. He doesn't understand that a deficit against gross domestic product is not a debt. It's simply a mortgage on the future.
Absolutely. And that's how you pay for things like infrastructure.
You have a AAA rating, which means people will loan you money because they trust that through your gross domestic product, you'll be able to pay it back. And so if you want that train, you buy it now.
And this is what conservatives all over the world have been doing, that they've been brainwashing people that debt automatically is a bad thing. You know something? When you buy
a house.
We're
living beyond our means.
When you
bullshit!
Buy a, you know,
bullshit!
You don't run a country the same way you run your fucking family household. And if you're a dim-witted shit, you believe that. It's the percentage of debt and how much you can carry.
Well, we're living in a country right now where they got in saying, we're living beyond our means, huge debt, financial crisis, which is bullshit. Then they proceeded to borrow raise the debt ceiling to $400 billion.
Which is, by the way, nothing compared to you guys.
Yeah, and then they went and bought these Turkey American jets for $58 billion that even the Americans don't want to fly.
Yeah, that's right.
The F-35. They fly them in the movies, you know, against Captain America and against Die Hard 4, but they don't work.
Ladies and gentlemen, Australia is your friendly neighborhood kind of like extension company. But the difference is, like, seriously, is the fact that the conservatives run this gambit all over the world. They say it's a crisis and then we pay too high taxes.
If you tell a lie enough times, people will believe it's true.
Gutfeld's full of shit. He's always full of shit. Yeah. He's a douchebag, and he's my tinfoil hat for this week.
Oh, congratulations. That
Thank
is
you
a
very
whole
much.
Roll of aluminium just for him.
Hey, it's 110, and we got to go.
Yeah, we've got to go. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we kept you so long today, but we've had a good time.
Hey, you know where I want to end with?
Yeah.
I want to end with the theme from the newsroom. Here it is. This is the theme from a series that
Thomas Newman.
I don't believe
one of the greatest film composers in the world.
Absolutely, and I don't believe that Aaron Sorkin has to apologize for
anything.
This is the Bill Show. You can meet us on www.expatprogressive.podbean.com. You can listen to any of our shows. Also, we're at the Bill Show on XPR at Facebook. Please come in and say hi.
And drop us another line.
We're going to have the mailbag next week because we have the Bill Show on XPR at gmail.com. Just drop us a line and let us know what you're thinking of the
show. Listening to us from Denmark.
We have people from Denmark, from Hong Kong.
Denmark?
France. What was the other? We had one from Russia. I don't know who the guy is in Russia.
They must have found us by accident.
Mostly in the United States, but Italy. I mean, I was looking at the list of countries.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, it's great. And keep the cards and letters coming because we're getting a few. And it's really nice to hear back from you and let you know what.
Send us some Reese's pieces. I've missed those.
Well, we haven't got an address.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe someday we'll get an address.
Okay.
You can send us candy. Anyway, thanks.
Love you, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's the theme for the Booze Room. Playing us out here on The Bill Show. See you next time.